Hello, this is Pastor Pete Beck III with LifeNet in Burlington, North Carolina. Welcome to today's podcast entitled, And the Books Were Opened, a Preview of the Last Judgment. Everything we know as it is now will come to an end one day, whether it is our youth, our health, our looks, our wealth, our dreams and ambitions, our jobs, our families, even our physical lives, every one of these things upon which people pin their hopes will eventually cease to be. According to the Bible, even the earth and heavens will wear out like a garment and pass away. Psalm 102, 25 and 26, Isaiah 51, 6, and Hebrews 1, 10 through 12. In their place will be something new and amazing, but until that day arrives, the only thing most people can count on for is that eventually we will die. And after that, what? The Bible has some very specific answers. These answers will determine whether or not we can look forward to that day with hope. Daniel the prophet was given a vision of the coming day of the Lord, when God will judge all people who ever lived. He describes a heavenly courtroom scene which is both majestic and terrible. The judge is called the Ancient of Days, whose presence creates awe and dread. Nothing here on earth can compare us for what that day will be like. And I read to you from Daniel 7, verses 9 and 10. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair on his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000 thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. Would you like to know exactly what is in those books? Is there something in them about you and me? Will the Last Judgment be that personal? God gave John the Revelator a similar vision when he was exiled for his faith in Jesus the Messiah on the Isle of Patmos. And here is his written record of that experience. I'm reading now from Revelation 20. Verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. And from his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. According to this passage and other Bible verses, such as Matthew 16, 27, 2 Corinthians 5, 10, and Ephesians 6, 8, the books that will be opened before the Ancient of Days contain a written record of how we lived here on earth during the time allotted to us. This will include, according to Jesus, not only what we did, but also what we said, Matthew 12, 36. Our utterances are what we might call a verbal deed. And according to the Bible, even our thoughts and intentions will be made known, which makes this an even more horrifying spectacle, Hebrews 4, 12 and Ecclesiastes 12, 14. None of us desires our worst thoughts to be made public, but that is what is going to happen. Imagine a book that contains all our thoughts, words, and deeds. So what standard will be used to judge us? Another question we might ask ourselves is, what standard our thoughts, words, and deeds will be measured? Will we be compared to other people from our socioeconomic group who lived about the same time as we? Or will we be graded against all people who ever lived? Will we be only scored against others from our own religious grouping or against all other world religions? Will we be graded on a curve which would allow most of us to pass despite our poor showing? And what if some, as is often the case, did so well that the normal curve no longer applies? What if someone made a perfect score, and that is the standard by which the rest of us will be judged? And what if we did not even believe that there is such a person as the ancient days? Will we get a do-over? The Bible makes it clear that God's perfect righteousness will be the standard for judgment. It is called the law, which revealed what God is like and what he expects of us. The Ten Commandments are the bare essentials for that standard. When we consider our lives in light of these commands, some of us might think that we come away pretty well. Most of us have never murdered anyone, right? That is, unless abortion is murder, or, as Jesus taught, being angry with someone is tantamount to committing murder. Matthew 5:22. What if hatred, which wishes ill on another, is in the same category as murder? That's a horse of a different color for sure. And what about adultery? Adultery, like murder, under the law was punishable by death. It is an extremely serious offense in God's eyes. The only eyes that will matter at the last judgment, by the way. Jesus raised the bar even higher when he told his followers, which include us, that lusting after another person in our hearts makes us guilty of adultery. Matthew 5:28. Does this mean that lustful thoughts are worthy of death? According to Romans, every form of sin earns death for us. Romans 6:23. So what is this thing called sin? God created human beings to live in joyful and liberating dependence upon him, drawing our life, wisdom, and everything good from our Creator and Sustainer. Sin derives from our determination to live on our own, to direct our own lives without reference to God. It is not just when we do, quote, bad things like murder. It is when we do the most evil thing of all, forsake God and try to live without him. Adam and Eve decided that God cannot be trusted, so they made the break away from the source of life into sinful independence, which, not surprisingly, brought death. This rebellion has been passed down genetically and spiritually to each of their descendants, including us. Sadly, we have all taken up the torch and run with it. Every single human being has fallen short of God's glorious standard of right living. We may not like God's standard for judgment. We may not think that our way of doing things is really all that bad. But what we think doesn't really matter. What matters is what the one called the Ancient of Days thinks. And who is this judge called the Ancient of Days? Your first guess would probably be God, which is true, but not the complete answer. The Bible teaches that he is none other than the risen and glorified Messiah of Israel, Jesus, the eternal Son of God, who is also identified as the Son of Man. This should not surprise us, since before his ascension, Jesus told us that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him, Matthew 28:18. He also spoke these clear words from John 5:22, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." Jesus, the only person who ever lived a completely surrendered life to God in the way God always intended, has been given authority to judge everyone who has fallen short of that mark. So, ultimately, Jesus is the standard by which every person will be judged. He is the one who scored 100% on this test called life. Jesus, the perfect man, the Son of God, the Lamb who was slain to take away our sins, the risen Lord of glory, is the only person worthy to judge the rest of us. He lived, breathed, walked, talked, and thought as a man, but without sin. He, the perfect man, blew the curve right out of the water. He ruined our chances for being compared to other miserable sinners at the last tribunal. We will be judged against Christ's perfection and obedience. We have absolutely no chance of being found righteous. Amazingly, however, his perfect score made the way for us to skip the test. Let me read from John 5:22 through 29. Jesus said, "The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who has sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in their tombs will hear his voice and come out. And those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." Jesus made a way for those who put their faith and allegiance in him to be exempted from the final exam. Jesus, the righteous judge, died in our place so that we can be spared from having the hammer of God's judgment crash upon us. Jesus, the perfect one, who took our sin and punishment upon himself so that we might walk free from the condemnation of fear of judgment, which we so richly deserve, has said that we will not come under condemnation. And he knows, because he's the judge. Those who put their faith in this Savior King will stand before the judgment seat too, but our names will be found written in another book. If our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we're home free, because all the benefits and rewards of Jesus' perfect life will be put next to our names, and the record of our sinful rebellion against God will have been erased. Hebrews 10:16-17 quotes from Jeremiah the prophet in his prophecy about the new covenant and says, "This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." And then he says, "I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds." How can we get our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Revelation 21, verses 22 through 27 says, "And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." How do we get our names in this most intriguing book? Paul wrote in his letter to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Our God is so loving and great that he set in motion his plan to redeem for himself a people even before he created the world. Jesus did not come as a makeshift plan or a mid-course correction. God's amazing mind saw and planned it all beforehand. What a great God we serve. And in the course of time, you and I were born and received our chance to play our parts on the grand stage called life. Having already sent his Son to die for our sins during our lifetimes, God the Father makes sure that we hear the gospel message and that his Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, drawing our hearts toward him and working in us so that we want to know more about Jesus, who said the following, John 6, 37 and 40. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. If we come to Christ, it means we were drawn. If the Spirit draws us, it is because the Father has already known, loved, and chosen us to be objects of his love. If we come, Jesus will receive us. Our part is to respond to God's gracious drawing by choosing to come to Christ, by opening our hearts to him, and by believing in him. The Holy Spirit guides the process from start to finish, but we must cooperate. No matter where we are in this process of being drawn, we can turn to God right now and tell him that we want to keep going. God wants us to be active participants, not passive onlookers. It's a kind of beautiful dance with an invisible partner. Here's a prayer you might want to pray. Holy Spirit, I can feel you're drawing me to Christ. Please keep working in me. I surrender my life into your hands. Jesus, I want to know you and believe in you. Come into my life. Forgive my sins. I receive the eternal life that you promised. Open my eyes, ears, and heart to you and to your truth. Amen. Our eternal destiny hangs in the balance. The final outcome for those who trust in Christ is completely reverse of what it will be for those who refuse his generous offer. Those who God's offer of reconciliation, who refuse it, will not have their names written in the book of life and will suffer what the Bible calls the second death. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, it was thrown into the lake of fire. That's Revelations 20, 14 and 15. But those who do choose to trust in the Messiah King will be ushered into a glorious eternity in God's loving presence. I read from Revelations 21, 1 through 4. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." Jesus is the hope for all people. The Bible says that the hope of those who trust in him is his second coming in glory to raise the dead and judge the nations. Titus 2:11 and 13 says the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. Hopeless people do desperate things, but people who have hope live in the light of that hope. Those who have put their trust in Jesus will live as people of hope. 1 Peter 1:3 through 4 reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." 1 Peter 1, 3, and 4. Today, if you have the opportunity to make sure you're on the right side of things on the last day, make the most of it. If you have never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, what are you waiting for? If you're already a follower of Christ, rededicate yourself to his service. And I will see you on that day, if not sooner.